It's good to have the kids in with us today, and look, I'll be doing a bit of a shorter message today because we've got our kids with us, and as you can see, you know, most people kind of get that there's something about Jesus to do with Christmas, but really it's all about getting together with the family, it's all about the kids, it's all about presents. Now, I'm assuming you're here today because you understand that there's more than that about Christmas, yeah? And you do want to get together, you want to celebrate, but you want to celebrate the bigger thing. You want to celebrate the Jesus thing. And that's what we're going to do today. We've had Luke chapter 2 read to us. I'm feeling Christmassy. I got my Christmas shirt on. What do you reckon? No, I never wear red shirts. I get told I'm not meant to. I don't know why. Did anyone get what they desperately wanted for Christmas today? Yeah, a couple of hands? What'd you get there? Skateboard? Who else got a skateboard? You did, didn't you? That's my little man. We had a go on the way over, didn't we, this morning? A little test run. What did we get? A flicker. I don't even know what a flicker is. Okay, wow. It's one of those. Yep, what'd you get? A new watch? Waterproof? Awesome. Any big people get what they wanted for Christmas? You help back there? A remote control helicopter. They are perfect for Christmas lunch, aren't they? Okay, we've said grace, we're eating now. Let's get this thing moving. I've seen that totally tear apart the Christmas lunch before. It's awesome. Make sure you do it. Well, friends, let's have a look at Luke 2. And really what we are celebrating today, I want to put out there, I want to say that as we come together and celebrate Jesus, we are celebrating, I would suggest, the most significant arrival in all of human history. What do you reckon? You agree with me there? The most significant, the biggest event in all of history, that God, the God of the universe, the King, the Lord, would come. Now, it makes sense, doesn't it, that if God was going to come, that as he came or before he came, he would send the angels of heaven to announce that he's coming. And that's exactly what we just found out there in the reading. The angel appears to the shepherds in the field and the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? That's what God would do. We would expect to hear from angels that God is on his way. And the angel basically says, "Don't be afraid. God is coming, and as he comes with good news. This is going to bring us great joy, and not just us here in this part of the world. This is for all people everywhere. This is a significant event." And then the angel says to the shepherds in the field, he says, "Here's how you can expect to find the God of the universe who has come to save you and rescue you as Messiah." And in verse 12, the angel begins by saying this, "This will be a sign to you." He's speaking to the shepherds, and basically he's saying to the shepherds, here's how you can expect to find the King of the universe as he comes. Now, what would you be thinking if you were a shepherd? Think like a shepherd for a minute. Picture yourself in the field. Picture yourself seeing an angel, many angels, and they tell you the King of the universe is coming, and he's come to save the world. And then they say to you, and here's the sign. Here's how you'll know what he's going to look like. Here's how you know where to find him. What would you be expecting them to say? I know what it's like when special people visit. I know what it's like when we get royalty that come and visit our country, or President Obama came this year. What's it like when important, impressive people come? They come in all their glory, don't they? They come with all their people, all their security. They come in with all their own planes and all their own cars, and they come with all their own fanfare, and there's a big press release, and nobody misses it. Everyone knows they're coming, and everyone gets to see how wonderful they are. But that's just royalty, and that's just the president. What should it be like when the God of the universe comes, the King, the Lord of all things comes? I think the shepherds. Well, if I were them, I would be expecting to hear that this is going to be huge. This is going to be a big event. God is going to come, and he's going to look powerful and impressive. He's going to make a big splash because your Savior is here. But today I actually want to dig in and have a look at actually the surprising way in which God did come. Because the angels don't say anything like that. Look what the angel says in verse 12, if you've got your Bible there. "This will be a sign to you. Here's how you can find the King of the universe." And then he says, "You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Now that's strange, isn't it? Basically, the angel says, when God comes, you're going to hardly notice him, actually. And really, the most significant event in all of human history flew virtually beneath the radar of the public eye because God came in an incredibly humble way. And when he came, he chose to identify with incredibly humble, common people. Let's look at the details of how he came, and then we ask the question, why would he do it like this? Look at his humble arrival. You would think that if God was going to come, he would be born into an impressive, kind of prominent, rich, powerful family, right? No, he's born to a woman named Mary. She's young, she's unmarried, she's a teenage girl, and she's from a poor family. That's strange. And when he comes, he's not born in a flashy private hospital. He's not born in a palace. He's not born with security around him. He's not born in a hygienic kind of environment. No, there was no room at the inn. His mum and dad didn't have enough money or privilege or influence to even get a room somewhere for the birth. And they find themselves camping out in someone's basement with the animals. And when he's born and when he's presented to the first few people who come to see him, the baby Jesus is not dressed in a royal purple robe or anything like that, which they would have done back in that day. He didn't look glamorous in any way. Now, we dress up our babies when they're first born to make them look pretty glamorous, don't we? We like to show off our babies. We can dress them up in long white dresses. I don't know. What have you done with your babies? You strip them off and you put fluffy toys around them and take black and white photos. Or you put them in flower pots with funny things hanging off their head. You know, the Ann Geddes thing? We come up with all kinds of strange things to show off the glory of our newborn babies, but God is displayed wrapped in bits of secondhand cloth and lying in an animal's feeding box. That is humble, and that is strange that the King of the universe would come in this way. These are the clues that are given to the shepherds. The angel says, here's how you can go and find the King. Here's the clues. He's a newborn baby. You'll find him wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in an animal's feeding box. So can you imagine the shepherds, middle of the night, heading off into Bethlehem to try and find the baby Jesus? I don't know how it worked, but you can imagine them knocking on doors, perhaps in the middle of the night. Knock, knock, knock. Sorry to wake you up. We're looking for a newborn. Have you heard about one being born? Apparently he's going to be wrapped in bits of cloth and lying in an animal's feeding tray. And he's the King of the universe, by the way, the saviour of us all. I reckon they would have had a few doors being slammed in their faces on that night. They would have appeared pretty strange. But this is how God chose to arrive. There was no room at the inn, not because God forgot to book ahead, but because God chose to be born this way. He chose to be born exactly like this. And not only did he choose to arrive in a humble way, he chose to associate with and connect with humble, common nobodies. Who does the angel appear to announce that he's arriving? Shepherds. Now, we have a pretty nice picture of shepherds these days, don't we? But back in the first century, shepherds were pretty shabby and a little bit shonky. Yeah? They were shabby. They were pretty much considered unclean. Kind of dirty. You don't go near them because they work with animals. They sleep outside. They're kind of dirty. They would have been the poor men in that day, unregarded, lower class, kind of despised by everybody else. They were a bit shabby. And they're also a little bit shonky. They were considered pretty untrustworthy. Shepherds had a pretty bad reputation for being a bit dishonest. They were despised. In fact, you couldn't get a shepherd to testify in court. If you wanted to call someone as a witness in court, you couldn't call a shepherd because you can't trust what shepherds say. And God chooses shepherds to be the first ones to see and hear from the angels. God chooses shepherds to be the first ones to visit the baby Jesus. The first ones to visit a newborn, they're the privileged ones, aren't they? They're the special ones. They're the ones that get given the honour and the access to the newborn baby, usually close family members or friends. God chooses shepherds to be the first to visit. And he chooses shepherds to be the ones who announce his arrival. The shepherds are the ones who go out there and testify and witness that God has arrived. They're not allowed to testify in court, but God chooses them to be the ones who go out and announce that he has arrived. Not dignitaries, not famous people, not reputable reporters to get a good press release. God chooses shepherds. shepherds before wise men. You know, often we see the picture of the nativity scene with wise men and shepherds all in the picture together. No, no, no. Wise men didn't come, perhaps even for like a year later. Shepherds came first. God chose shepherds. Let's ask why. Why did God come in such an incredibly humble way? And why did he choose to associate with common, humble people? Because it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an accident. He deliberately chose to come like this. I've got four reasons for you this morning. We'll see if we can get through them. The first one is this. He chose to do it like this because he said he would. Second reason, he chose to do it like this because it's the kind of God he is. Third reason, he did it like this because he wanted to shame the proud. And fourth reason, to welcome the humble. Let's look at the first one. God came in a humble way like this and chose to associate with common humble people because he said he would. God said probably about 700 years prior to him coming as the baby Jesus, he said that he would come like this. He promised that he would through the prophets. And he promised many things about the details about the way he would come. So many things, too many things for me to mention now, but let me just mention a few. He promised through the prophet Isaiah that he would be born to an unmarried virgin. He promised through the prophet Micah that he would be born in the town of David, in Bethlehem. He promised through Jeremiah that he would be born into a very particular family line as a descendant of King David. And he says in Psalm chapter 72 that when he comes, he will be visited by shepherds. Isaiah chapter 53, God says, when I come as the Saviour, I'm not going to come as a glorious, victorious Saviour. I will be victorious, but it's not going to be impressive. I'm going to come as the suffering servant. I'm going to come and begin my life and grow up in a very humble fashion that's pretty unimpressive. And in fact, I'm going to be despised by the world that I made, and I'm going to be the one who's familiar with suffering. God said it would be like this about 700 years prior, and our God is a God who keeps his word. If he says he's going to do something, that's exactly what he does. He's trustworthy. What he says, he does. What God has said will happen. Because he's trustworthy. There are many things God has said he will do. He has said, let me mention a few. God has said that we will one day all stand before him. We will. God has said one day we will all need to give an account for the way we've lived. We will. God has said that only those on that final day who find themselves in a saving relationship with him will be secure for all eternity. That will be the case. Because our God is a God of his word. And our God is a God who is to be taken seriously at his word. He said he'd do it like this. Here's the second one. Why did God come in such a humble way and choose to associate with common, humble nobodies? Because this is the kind of God that he is. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. We don't have a God who is at a distance, refusing to come close. We don't have a God who's too good, who refuses to come close and get his hands dirty to be among us. No, no, we have a God who comes among us. We have a God who gets down and dirty with us. We have a God who becomes one of us, draws close to us to come alongside us and rescue us. We have a God who is Emmanuel. We have a God who is so rich in love and mercy and compassion that when he looks upon us and sees our great need, he decides, because he's merciful, to come. And not just stand at a distance as he comes, but to actually come and enter into the reality and the pain and the discomfort of the human state. He enters into it and actually becomes one of us to be our representative. And to live the life we could never live and to do it on our behalf and to deal with our biggest problem called sin and to be our rescuer. This is who our God is. He can't help himself but to be merciful and compassionate. And this was the only way for God to actually rescue us, was to become one of us and enter right into the pain, into the depths of the heartbreak of humanity. And so he chooses to associate with the downtrodden, common people. Here's the third one. Why does God come in such a humble way and choose to associate with common, humble people? Firstly, to shame the proud. Now, this one sounds a little bit harsh, doesn't it? God comes to shame. That's what he says he does. He comes to shame the proud. Now, picture this with me for a moment to help us get our heads around it. Picture a pop star, a rock star. Who are you picturing? Who's a famous pop star or rock star at the moment?
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber, it's got to be. Absolutely. There you go. So picture Justin Bieber, or if that's not the rock star, I don't know who you're thinking of, you know? Celine Dion. I don't know, who is it for you? Bette Midler, you know? Picture the rock star, the pop star. Picture them coming to town. Who you got? Michael Jackson. Yeah, he's all right, isn't he? Picture the pop star that comes to a local school to come alongside and get to know some of the local kids and be friends with some of them. Now, picture this. That famous, cool rock star, pop star comes to town and walks in and very deliberately chooses to be friends with the kids who have no friends, the kids who have been rejected, the kids who are not cool, the kids who have been despised by the ones who are cool. Now, as the pop star and the rock star chooses deliberately to do that, what do you think that says to the cool kids? What do you think it says to the proud kids who have rejected the others and despised the others? By doing this, I suggest the pop star is kind of saying, the way you are living is wrong. You're so proud about yourself. You think you're so good that you would reject these people. I'm cooler and I'm not rejecting them. I'm friends with them. Shame on you for the way you're living. Shame on you for not associating that way. There for me is a little glimpse of why God came and chose to associate with humble, common people. He came to shame the proud, those in our society who, because they feel like they are, I don't know, wealthy, successful, things have gone well for them, they're feeling proud about themselves. They're feeling like they're successful. They're feeling like they're sufficient in themselves. They're feeling like perhaps they don't need to associate with people who are not as good as them. They're feeling like basically they don't have need for anyone else. They're sufficient in themselves. And a proud person can end up feeling like, and this is super common in our day, a proud person can think they have no need for God, no need for a saviour. And God comes the way he does to shame the proud. To shame the proud. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God says he chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chooses the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chooses the lowly and despised things of this world to shame the impressive things. God deliberately chooses to identify with the hurting and the needy and the oppressed and the humble because they are the ones who know they need help. They are the ones who will welcome a saviour. They are the ones who are humble in heart. And so here's my final thing. God comes the way he does because he wants to welcome the humble. Shame the proud. And I'm not saying you're proud on this side of the building. But God comes to welcome the humble. He arrives as a humble nobody. He associates with humble nobodies because he came to rescue humble nobodies like you and like me. He came to rescue those who are humble in heart, those who are poor in spirit. Imagine if Jesus didn't come like that. Imagine if he did come in all his riches and all his glory and he chose to associate with just the rich and the famous and the impressive, successful people. It would only be the rich and famous and successive who would feel as though they could come to him and approach him. But God comes to the humble. Because he wants the humble to know that they're welcome to come. He wants the humble to know that he's come for them, to rescue them. He points to the humble and he basically says, these are the ones who recognize their need. These are the ones who are aware of their dependence. They're not independent. They are aware of their dependence. And these are the ones who are willing to accept and welcome a saviour. These guys get it. These guys get why I've come. Those who are successful and proud in this world and feel like they have no need for God are deluding themselves because they do desperately have a need for God. They don't get it, but the humble ones do. Now, you might say, but Tim, didn't we just read that it's great news, good news and great joy that God has come for all the people everywhere in the world? Let me say it like this. Yes, all people, everywhere, anywhere, who are humble enough to receive him as Saviour. And so the question I reckon we need to ask today on Christmas Day is, are we humble enough to receive the King of the universe as our Saviour? Will we be humble enough to admit our need, our desperate need for God to save us? Let me finish by saying this. You might have heard it said that religion and Christianity is something that humanity has just invented because we feel like we needed to. You might have heard it said that Christianity, this whole Jesus thing is just for people who need a bit of help in life, and so they come up with this concept of Jesus. You might have heard it like this. Jesus is just a crutch for people who feel a bit lame in life and they need a bit of help. Is Jesus just a crutch? He's not, is he? In fact, I'll put it like this. Jesus is far more than a crutch for me. He came to be far more than a crutch for everyone. Jesus is not just a crutch. He is a life support system. Because we don't just need a little bit of help when we're in trouble. We actually need to be rescued. We need to be saved. We needed a Messiah. We needed the Christ. Because without him, we are in serious, serious trouble. So the question we ask this Christmas, as we acknowledge how humbly our God came and how he chose to associate with humble common people, the question we ask is, will we be humble enough to receive him as Saviour? Will we be humble enough to admit our need and receive him? My prayer is that we would. I understand that many of you have. If you haven't, I'd really ask you to consider the God who loves you, who is your King, and who has come to save you. And I want to encourage you to continue to investigate things. Keep coming along. There's a bunch of things that can help you dig into these concepts that are strange, but wrestle with them. Merry Christmas. Let me pray for us. Father God, you are an amazing God. You are the King who has come to rescue. But Father, as we see how strange it is that you would come in such a humble way and that you would choose deliberately to associate with humble common people, we see that points to the very reason why you came. You came to rescue those who are humble in heart. You came to rescue those who are poor in spirit. You came to rescue those who are willing to admit their need. Father, would you by your grace enable us to acknowledge our great need for you and receive you as Saviour? And would you help those wrestle with these concepts who are not able to do that just yet? Would you do this, Lord, for your name's sake and your glory? And the people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's a great word.